Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Third hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Monday afternoon. We're live here at Pete and Terry's Tavern. Tonight it's Toronto. It's the Leafs and the Preds. 7 o'clock puck drop, pregame at 6, and everything heard right here on 102.5 The Game. Speaking of the Predators, tomorrow from 6 until 9 p.m., there will be a Predators theme going on at 450 Cherokee Dock Road in Lebanon. It's the Cherokee Steakhouse. It'll start with Preds Insiders from 6 until 7, followed by Slapshot Radio and then Penalty Box Radio. So that's tomorrow, Cherokee Steakhouse. That's 450 Cherokee Dock Road in Lebanon. You can come by for 3 hours of Predators talk, great food and drinks, along with a chance to win some great Predators prizes. We head east. We go to Knoxville. We bring in Vince Ferrara, WNML, the sports animal, at Vince Sports on Twitter. It's free and it's easy. Just hit follow, and there you go. Vince, how you doing?
Good, guys. How you doing?
Where were you yesterday when you learned of the tragic news of Kobe Bryant?
I was just pulling up to work, I had to go inside, and I was coming to work, get some stuff done, and I had to look for, I don't know, 5-6 different outlets. Like, I saw it, I didn't believe it, and I kept looking for something to prove to me that it wasn't real. So I kept looking, and, you know, eventually it set in that it was real. Just brutal. One of those things that, you know, you mentioned, you asked me, I think, an appropriate question is, where were you? It's one of those things that some of it is for, sometimes you have those memories of where you were for something that's really positive. And obviously this is the polar opposite. So just in a complete fog and disbelief, like I think a lot of people yesterday, just hit hard. I mean, and as we all do, you start to bring it into your life and your situation and the what-if game and connecting it back to you, in addition to just the unthinkable tragedy and everything that all those families, including Kobe Bryant's, are what they're having to deal with, just trying to comprehend it all. It was certainly a difficult day and one that I think rocked all, not just the sports world, but this country, because there's so many people that, whether they were basketball fans or not, knew who Kobe Bryant was. And even, you know, in talking to my family, my niece is a freshman in high school in Tampa, and she was with friends, and they're out to eat, my family, and they found out about it on their phones, and all of them, they're not big basketball fans. They're 15. But they were all devastated and couldn't believe it, and they were impacted by it without being hardcore NBA fans. And that's kind of the just really rare reach that Kobe Bryant had. And one last thing on that, you know, I've seen a lot of people say, well, everybody was important. Why is everybody treating Kobe Bryant like he was more important than everybody else? And I would just caution maybe with a little bit of that take and that approach, because Kobe Bryant was so famous and so well known and reached so many people. That doesn't make him more important. All those lives are precious. It means that he reached and had an emotional connection with a lot more people. So I wouldn't classify that as importance. I would just classify that as connections with him and the knowledge of him because of his status. And You know, there's just I just think that the coverage doesn't necessarily equate to importance. It just it's more of a reflection of the reach and the number of people he had emotional connections with.
Rick Barnes has been around the game for a long time. I suspect he probably had something to say about it.
Yeah, he was on our morning show this morning, and you know, no doubt that he would always have great perspective, and he would on Kobe Bryant. And you know, he obviously, Rick Barnes coached and is still very close to Kevin Durant, and he talked about you know, Kevin Durant going and working out with Kobe Bryant, how he, you know, loved doing that and seeing him at every opportunity. You know, he talked about being on the U.S. national team and you know, representing the USA, and you know, Mike Krzyzewski coaching them and stuff, and Coach Barnes is you know, is close with him and some of those other coaches that have coached there, and just hearing the story that, you know, being in the huddle and there was just this tension that everybody in the huddle had in one of those close games, and Barnes said that, you know, Kobe Bryant just said, jumped in the huddle and said, "I got this. Just give me the ball. I got this." And he spent a lot of time talking about the rare approach that he had to of greatness, of demanding that greatness. And he said it's what coaches dream about and strive for with all their players, that valuing the every single thing that you do in the process. Kobe Bryant will talk about the process a lot, and he had that kind of mentality to where he's not going to give up any rep in practice, any possession in a game. He treated it all and cherished it all to where he wanted to dominate and win every rep. And the elite coaches try to coach that in their players to not take reps or plays off. And he had that. And that's what coaches want. And he impacted so many people, and the great ones connected with him the best because they understood that mentality and they took that mentality. And that's why you have, you know, the elite players like even a LeBron James talk about, you know, wanting to be like Kobe. Boy, just heartbreaking listening to the, you know, LeBron James, who just passed up on the all-time scoring list. And reflecting on him just the day before and what he meant to him in his career, and then to see those words the day after, man, just brutal. But, yeah, Rick Barnes, Kelly Harper also, she talked about how she almost couldn't even talk to her team because everybody was so devastated in the postgame when they found out after their game yesterday against LSU. And you know, you could tell she was emotional in the post game as well. And one of the things on Rick Barnes, he mentioned he wasn't able to be in the film session yesterday because of a death in his family, but he said that the coaches told him that when they told the team, that everybody on that Vols basketball team started crying. After, you know, an initial silence. So that just tells you, and he said what a lot of people have said, that Kobe Bryant was this younger generation's Michael Jordan. And, you know, it's just it has impacted both of these basketball teams and so many people here locally obviously reacting to it.
More on the other side with Vince Ferraro. We'll talk about their loss to the Jayhawks on Saturday. We got a lot more to get into with Vince on the other side. First, Willie, you've got a word about the good folks at Lee Company.
Well, it's good to be with you guys again this afternoon. Let me tell you about Lee Company. They'll have a big display on hand tonight as the action cranks back up at Bridgestone Arena. Lee Company is a proud sponsor of the Nashville Predators. You'll see their display all over Bridgestone Arena, and you'll hear all about them during the radio coverage tonight with Darren and Pete and Hal and company. So what does Lee Company do? Well, there's a wide variety of things, but the thing that I really have a first-hand knowledge of is their home maintenance plan. $8.25 a month, a monthly fee. In exchange for that, you get the annual checkups to make sure your heating and cooling units are operating efficiently, plus a plumbing and electrical check once a year as well. Can't beat that. You'll stay on top of things. They'll find the small problems before they become big problems. And if repairs need to be made, you will get discounts on those repairs. So you're going to save money in a couple of different ways over the long term. So, Lee Company, 615-567-1000, or go online at leecompany.com and make an online appointment to get started. Lee Company, let their decades of expertise go to work for you.
Vince Ferrara, WNML in Knoxville, Sports Animal. He joins us every Monday at high noon. Vince, what were your thoughts on what took place? Of course, SEC Big 12 Challenge over the weekend. A really fun game Saturday night in Kentucky, in Lubbock at Texas Tech, where the Wildcats came away with the overtime win. But Tennessee and Kansas played in the middle of the day, and Tennessee did a good job of hanging around. And I know there were times when they cut it down to three, maybe even a basket, but more like 3 or 4 points. I just never felt like they were in danger of winning the game. What were your thoughts?
No, you're right. They were probably more in danger of getting blown out, you felt like, than coming back and winning that game. But man, I think they deserve a lot of credit. I don't think there's an elite team in college basketball this year, but Kansas is on that list of, you know, national championship contending teams because they have a couple of elite players, and Azubuike and Dotson, their point guard. And those two guys were very difficult for Tennessee to handle. Josiah Jordan James, a freshman, had a really tough game. And just Tennessee could not stay in front of him and keep him from getting to the rim on him. And then Azubuike, obviously, was so hard to handle. He pushes off a lot, and he, with his size already, he's tough enough to deal with. But when you let that guy, you know, shove other post players around, you have no shot. But, you know, Tennessee doesn't have a lot of bulk inside, but they do have some length and athleticism. Just weren't able to do enough against them. And I think Tennessee deserves a lot of credit for playing them as well as they did. I think KenPom has Kansas as the top-ranked team. And for you to do that on the road, you know, Bowden played well. He's now strung together several much better games than when he was on a shooting slump. And then, you know, John Fulkerson continues to get better each game. And then Eve Pons to have a career high in points and look like he is every game expanding his offensive game. You know, this is a team where some of these players you can point to developing under Rick Barnes. The tough thing is that not everybody is gotten better or played to the level that they need in order for them to get in the tournament. They have a really difficult stretch coming up, and they're going to need not only the guys that are playing well right now, Bowden, Fulkerson, and Pons, but they need Olivier Kamwa, who is a freshman that, you know, a lot of people made some comparisons long-term to Grant Williams. And Josiah Jordan James might be the most important of them all. Vescovi, he didn't turn the ball over at all in 30-plus minutes. So that's a positive because he's been turning the ball over a lot. So there's things to get better at for sure, but it's a tough competition. And they're going to have depth of tough competition in their final 12 games. I'm guessing they're going to need to get – in that 12 right now, they're going to need to get to 19 to be in that real legit bubble conversation. And with only two teams out of their remaining 12 with an RPI over 100, everybody else is
that's pretty competitive. That's exactly where I'm going. The conference stinks this year. It's down. It's not very good. And the big concern that I have is, yes, they get two games against Kentucky and two games against Auburn. Auburn's ranked now. Who knows if they'll be ranked then, right? And, you know, maybe somebody squeaks in their rankings at some point, Florida. But the problem is they don't really have any attractive games. And when you say they're a bubble team, what's their signature win? I mean, that, you know, they lost to Memphis, they lost to Wisconsin, they've had Kansas, they've had some resume builders, and I mean, I guess they beat VCU, maybe you would count, but
yeah.
What's their big signature wins that they can hang their hat on when it comes to bubble time?
Well, that's a good point, Darren. They're 2-7 in the quad one, which is against the better teams. So they're going to have to do that in the back half. Now there's some quad one games there. Obviously, Kentucky and there'll be some others. You know, Arkansas and Florida potentially, depending on where they're at the time. So they can get some quad one. They can improve that record, but they're going to have to beat some of these teams. The getting past the easy part of the schedule is over. So it will be after Texas A&M. That's a team that they should beat also. But they're going to have to change that narrative in the second half against better teams. You're right, not a ton of marquee teams, but the biggest thing that they look at when they're comparing those resumes is the quad one. So if you can beat somebody that ends up in that top 25 or top 50 if you play them on the road, you can beef that up. You can get it back closer to 500. Then that's better. But you can't just play teams in that quad one and expect to get a benefit of the doubt. You got to beat some of those teams, and they're going to have to show they're good enough to do that. And that's kind of the question, I think, in this back half of the SEC schedule.
Vince, I think you said it well. If you play a lot of games in quad one, you don't have to even finish 500 necessarily if you play enough of them. But you do have to get your skins somewhere, and you try to avoid right. The bad loss somewhere. I'm with you. I was very encouraged on how they played against Kansas. They did get the big man in foul trouble. If Azubuike doesn't get in foul trouble, maybe they would have had a hard time staying in it. But they battled him. They got him to put. They got the call and the push off. You know, they got him on the bench. And when he was out, they were the better team. You know, they outscored Kansas by a wide margin when he wasn't in the game, and he had to sit out quite a bit in that. I also thought that you have to play poise when you play at Kansas. If you don't have it together, they will run you out of the building. And there, as you said, there were a couple of points where they kind of hit that brink, but they were able to hit some nice shots. They kept their poise. They had toughness. They got some big stops when they needed to. I think there's a lot to like. How do you get more quad one wins? I think you play like that, you could win another quad one game or two on the road with that effort.
And Willie, to your point, here's the thing, and I understand, you know, a little skepticism, you know, that Darren brought up, and are you going to be able to get enough of these wins? Are you good enough? But it's now three consecutive games, or I should say two and a half, because the second half of the Vanderbilt game, then all the Ole Miss game, and now all this Kansas game, where they've played the right way. They're driving yes. to the basket. They're playing inside out. They through four games, they led the SEC in three-point attempts with an awful shooting percentage. Well, stop taking a million threes. Drive to the basket, and then when you're doing that and you're playing inside out, it frees you up for better quality three-point shots when they're there. So they're playing the right way now over a multi-game period. If they can continue that, I think they can keep getting better and get some of those wins. If they revert back, then no, this team's going nowhere.
How do you think the league came out looking? Because I saw some things. Let's just take, for example, some of the, you know, we're early, okay? It's not even February yet, but people are starting to do their little, how's the field shaping up? And they have something like 11 teams from the Big Ten in there. And I say to myself, really? Can you be serious there? But as Darren mentioned, some of these teams have got to get going here. It's not too late. They've got around five going from the SEC. But how do you think the league came out after what is an important spotlight weekend in the Big 12 Challenge?
Better than I thought. I haven't been impressed with the league this year, to be blunt. And I thought that.
But isn't it sort of relative to all the leagues? I think a lot of leagues could say that.
There is that counter. Like I say, the league. The conference stinks, but then you can counter with, well, so does really college basketball as a whole. Like
right.
Most conferences are way down. Most of the powerhouse teams are way down. So that's a fair point. I mean, I guess if everybody's down, then that's going in your favor.
They got to let 68 teams
right.
in there from somewhere. You're not going to let teams from Italy come in.
You can – I'm all for that. I'll cover that regional. I was about to find out Bellator is going to Bellator is going to Milan, Italy for a pay-per-view. I'm like, hey, man, I want to cover that.
You might want to start working on that sponsorship right now.
But, no, I agree. The game is down, and the other you can find flaws in teams that you're talking about with the bubble, but guess what? There's going to be a whole lot of other flawed bubble teams that are out there, too, that probably have unimpressive quad one records and don't have marquee wins as well. It's not going to be a great bubble, I don't think. So it did a little bit better than I thought. I thought they'd give us, SEC would go 4-6. They went 5-5. And, you know, I think overall it looks good for the SEC to do that against, you know, such a quality league like the Big 12.
And I also don't see right now, you know, an inordinate amount of mid-major teams that are rising up saying, hey, these teams are going to take the spots away from the Power 5 teams. So that's another reason.
Right.
I think there might be room there if you can put together a solid, you know, a decent resume in a sea of mediocrity. Like Ohio State has endured a ridiculous amount. Well, they went into the game. They won last night at Northwestern, who's not a very good team. But they were like, what, 2-7 or 3-6 in the league? They went through a really rough patch. They were number two in the country. Then they completely went dead for a while. But they're still very much in it because somebody's got to go.
Well, it used to be the ACC that would be in that position,
yeah,
where teams with bad league records can still get in because of their overall resume or program name. And now I think that's shifted to the Big Ten this year.
Vince Ferrara is with us from WNML in Knoxville. And just shifting gears, Vince, I don't know how much you really got a chance to look at the Senior Bowl, but Juwan Jennings, Taylor was of course there. Some Vols prospects that look to be playing at the next level.
Yeah, Jennings had a touchdown catch. You know, he worked a lot all week and in the game in the slot. That's where he played a lot of Tennessee, not exclusively, and just a little one-on-one vertical route, good throw from Jalen Hurts, and made a nice catch on it, then celebrated doing the Macarena into the camera. That
okay,
was in the end
bringing zone, it back from the 90s.
I like it.
And, of course, Charles Davis on the call. He was excited about it for sure. He had a good week. I heard that, you know, maybe the scouts weren't overly a little surprised that his body wasn't more sculpted and wasn't more, I guess, overall impressive and muscular. You think of him to look a certain way because he's so physical and, you know, yards after contact, things like that. But
look, we've all had that said about us, okay? So he shouldn't feel bad. We've all had that said.
We've been there. We have been there.
And he showed out. You know, they saw him early, and they're like, oh, we thought he might be more muscular. And then he still plays like he looked on tapes. You're like, okay, maybe that doesn't matter. And he's a guy that's going to put in the work. So he had a good week. You know, I saw Pro Football Focus had him as a first round pick. I'm not buying that. I think he's maybe a second day guy. But he stood out in a very deep wide receiver group. There are so many good wide receivers that are going to be in the draft. So, you know, he did well for himself. Taylor kind of blended in, mixed in a little bit more, which is not necessarily what you're looking for. So he's going to have to improve, you know, combine and moving forward. But it was a positive week for Jennings, but still work to be done because ultimately I think some other teams are going to see that the 40 times and say, ooh, I don't know. But then somebody's still going to get, you know, a real dog that I think will be successful in the NFL.
Guys, I think I might take it as a compliment. I thought you would be more muscular. Come to think of it, Darren, I don't think I even got that. It was, well, no, we knew you would be pretty scrawny. We didn't think you'd be more muscular. You're just not. I mean, at least Juwan, like they thought. There was hope, you know. I had no hope.
Are you done, Zanies?
Hey, Zanies, take a back seat, man. Chill out.
We know we had the early signing period already, and the Vols made a splash, but who could be some top targets as we head into the second signing day?
Yeah, there's a five-star running back, Zach Evans, that Tennessee has kind of gotten the mix in. He was a signee to Georgia, and they let him out of his letter of intent. So he's kind of become a free agent out there. And, you know, Tennessee, Ole Miss, I think A&M is in the mix. Georgia's gotten back in the mix, crazy enough. Just a really strange story. Tennessee seems to get in the middle of the stranger recruiting situations. So, I mean, that would be a big gap. It's a Florida State commit, a wide receiver that Tennessee is in good position for. They feel like they might be able to flip him before National Signing Day. And then Dee Beckwith is an athlete that can play at a lot of different positions. So Tennessee, you know, thinks they've got a shot perhaps to land him. And, you know, all those guys are on offense, and there's, you know, they had some impact players on defense in the early signing period. So if you can get some difference makers on the offensive side of the ball with all you're losing with that wide receiver group and what you'll lose it at running back with Todd Chandler after next year, you know, that I think it fills a need. So playmakers is what this team needs, and they're at least in the conversation for some of those guys and a few other guys too, but those are probably the biggest standouts that they are trying to land for signing day.
Vince, good stuff as always. Best of luck with your new MMA show that you're going to debut on Wednesday. That's in, you know, MMA on the radio. Huh, an hour dedicated to MMA. That's something different. So good luck with that. Never heard of that before.
Yep,
wait a minute.
Yeah, you paved the way. Yes, sir. It's called In the Cage MMA Radio, Wednesday nights, 8 to 9. You can go to our website, 99.1thesportsanimal.com, and you can listen to it and the app, all that kind of fun stuff. Or if you're in Knoxville, check it out.
I like it. You're going to enjoy that show. So best of luck with that. Thanks for doing this. Have a good week.
All right, guys. You do the same. Appreciate you.
All right. Vince Ferrara, the sports animal, there in Knoxville. WNNML. NNML. My goodness.
M&M's, NNM's.
WNML.
Afanasyev. We just need that as a drop.
We do need that as a drop. And I have no comeback again, which is why you always do it.
Exactly.
We'll come back. More of Darren Donnick and Chase next. Donnick and Chase, we're live here at Pete Terry's Tavern. A lot of people taking in some good lunch. They have great food here. If you're downtown, if you're looking for a spot to stop and have lunch or maybe dinner before the game tonight, this is your place.
It's the spot.
Before we get out of here today, we're going to give away some tickets to see, speaking of your place, Roger Waters will be at Bridgestone Arena on August the 18th. We will give away tickets to that before we get out of here. We've already given away tickets to tonight's game, so we've been giving a lot of stuff away. Excited about that. Willie, you haven't had a chance to weigh in on what we've talked about a lot on this show and what shows all over the country have been talking about. Your thoughts on the tragic news yesterday?
Well, like everybody, you know, I hadn't thought about Kobe Bryant a whole lot probably in the last couple years since he's been out of the spotlight, but you realize right away the impact he had on the basketball world, the sporting world, and beyond, right? He was, as Vince pointed out really well, you know, he was a household name to non-sports fans. He was that big of a sports figure. So I did a lot of thinking, and of course, you know, losing a daughter as a dad, that hits you. You know, the fact that he was with, you know, teammates of hers, other families, you know, we do, Darren, you and I have had so many talks on the air and off the air about the whole, you know, youth basketball, youth sports scene, all of the time, the bonding you spend with families and your kids.
We
and,
just did
and how
it Saturday.
Special, how special that
yep.
is
yep.
To, and how dear that is to you. And it was becoming such a big part of Kobe's life. You know, all the videos that have been shared of him talking about his daughter Gigi and what I don't know if you guys have seen any clips of her playing. She was a really talented player. I mean,
she has his shot. Yeah. Like you can tell.
So it was just heartbreaking from so many levels. But, you know, then you start moving into the reflection of what you remember about him. What separates him from the other great players in a lot of cases, not only was he an unbelievable talent, but the competitive edge, yeah. You know, the dedication to the craft, the workmanlike stuff. And I thought Vince had some great quotes from Rick Barnes, you know, of the coach's mentality. What do you want from your players? You want that dedication, that all of the things about becoming a great player. He enjoyed that part. He embraced that part. How do I get better? And he was already one of the best from the day he took the court, you know, when he was 18 or 19. It didn't take him long to become a really good player, but he wanted to be the best. So that's the thing. It's not just the natural talent, but that's what I'll remember too. And it was so special to learn about the relationship with his daughter, but it just, at the same time, it makes it even more heartbreaking.
I retweeted this, but somebody tweeted a video of him, and he said, "Put your heart and soul into everything you do. The greatest fear you face is yourself. Being fearless means putting yourself out there and going for it. No matter what, go for it." That's the Mamba mentality. But
and looking for other ways. You know, he was – I happened to flip on the Australian Open coverage last night. And they took a long segment to talk about – their experience was that because he took a liking to tennis.
Yeah.
He became friends with Novak Djokovic.
Yep.
And they would talk about, you know, how do you get an edge? You know, what's your mindset in your game compared to, how do you compare notes? How do you learn from one another? How do you help one another? That was really interesting to me. It just shows you the bounds. This goes beyond basketball. And tonight you're going to see it here. I know in Memphis, and we're going to talk about this at 1 o'clock. I saw some of the clips from the Grizzlies game yesterday. You know, it just it's a really, really big thing. A generation of players who are in the NBA right now all grew up watching him, whether you rooted for him or not. And I wasn't a Laker fan, right? I was not a guy that rooted for his teams, but you appreciate the greatness, right? What made the NBA great? Players like him, you know, and these guys are it's a special group. You know, maybe some of the older players played with or against him at the tail end of his career, others just grew up idolizing him.
Well, and I thought it was cool. I don't know if you guys saw, obviously, a lot of tributes around the league yesterday, but Trae Young of the Hawks actually started the game wearing a number 8 instead of his normal number 11. But he started wearing, started the game with Kobe's number 8 in tribute. And then a lot of teams did the 24-second violation or the 8-second backcourt violation, which was cool that it worked out that way. But, you know, to be honest, I thought about you guys because I don't have kids. I know you do. And it's sad no matter what. But it's not like he wasn't going to an event. He was going to his daughter's basketball game.
Right.
He was taking her to her basketball game.
And teammates.
Yeah. And it made me think about you guys because so many times, you know, you're taking your kids to various sporting events, whether they're attending it or playing in it or – you know, you're coaching Darren, and you've coached Willie, and so it just – that was, you know, that was kind of what hit me of, you know, he was being a dad. He wasn't being Kobe. He was being dad, and that, you know, makes it just even harder.
And not only are his – you know, obviously his family affected, but there are so many people. This is what hit me, too, with all of the reaction from all of the different sports. He wanted to share – a lot of what he had learned and been through, his experiences. He wanted to be a mentor to the future players, you know, and whether it's basketball or other people. Like he wanted to help Novak Djokovic be the best. You know, that's something we're really going to miss out on. It's incredibly sad.
I saw Ovechkin tweet out pictures of him with Kobe.
Another good example.
PK Subban did the same thing.
Yeah,
so, I mean, look, he was a global icon. He was. He impacted the world. And, you know, there are other countries that, you know, had to wake up because the time difference and had to learn of that today, right, and learn of this story that we had to consume basically most half of yesterday. And you know, his impact in China and other places all over the world where basketball is a big deal and where he's gone and played and – and Kobe was more about the, just the game. He would impact by, you know, stopping and talking with people. And so, you know, it is interesting to hear players from other sports. I mean, Tiger Woods was playing golf yesterday, and they caught up with him, and here's what he had to say after his round.
Tiger, hearts are heavy all over the world today with the news of Kobe Bryant's passing. I know this is hard for you. He was a friend, but you wanted to say a couple words about him.
You know, Amanda, I didn't know until Joey just told me coming off 18 green. I didn't really understand why the people in the gallery were saying doing it for Mamba. But now I understand. It's a shocker to everyone. Unbelievably sad, and one of the more tragic days that I think, well, for me, it's just, the rally just kind of sitting in because I was just told probably about, you know, 5 minutes ago.
I mean, that's Tiger Woods. You know, they're doing the Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines, and he's saying that he literally learned,
yeah,
you know, at that interview 5 minutes before, and you see his caddy telling him something and them walking off the green, and it's pretty interesting. He heard things from the gallery, and he had no clue what they were talking about.
Right.
That had to be hard for those. I mean, in this world that we live in now, it's so immediate how quick it spreads. And Tiger did a really good job there collecting his thoughts and coming up with something. That's a hard play. I don't know if I'd want to speak, especially if I had a personal relationship with him. I mean, it's just hard to speak, right? Sometimes you need a little time to reflect before you go out there. But it was so quick. Like, you flipped around the channels. The Pro Bowl was going on. I was wondering if they were going to stop the Pro Bowl for a minute to try to gather. You know, they had to. Joe Tessitore is put in a tough spot. He's trying to call the game, and he's having to make this announcement when it was confirmed that it had happened. I mean, it was really tough. I mean, that's a tough thing. And you don't have all the information yet.
Right.
You're trying to sift through what's happening. You're trying to determine what can be confirmed. That's a difficult place to be, for sure, when your emotions are running high and you want to say the right thing, and it's so quick after it happened.
Well, and I, what I'm curious, you know, the NBA has tweeted out a ton of tributes from their account, and one that you know, made me pretty emotional is Kobe going in to shake hands with David Stern, you know, who just passed away, and they've done so many tributes. The Lakers have not, at least that I've seen, they haven't said anything yet. I know they're probably doing a lot of work behind the scenes as they'll take on the Clippers tomorrow night, and you know that's going to be a sight at the Staples Center for that one. Doc Rivers was in tears when he was talking about it when he got the news. So, look, it's tough. And I went on Fox 17 last night, and I said, you know, it's not just basketball. It's sports. That's what you brought up, Darren, of Alex Ovechkin and then P.K. Subban. It's just it goes across all sports, and not just one, of the impact that Kobe had.
It was interesting to hear Tiger Woods say that one of the things that really impressed him is when Kobe Bryant ruptured his Achilles, and he went on to shoot his free throws before he left and made both of his free throws, and how he was, you know, the ultimate competitor. And Tiger Woods can speak on that because he tore his ACL and continued to play in his match and at the Masters, and we all remember that as well. We will come back and close out hour number three next.
Never take a day off. Catch you at the top with the key and get a J, y'all. Baseline, FaceTime. Tongue out like 2-3. Even 2-3, gotta love how I do me. Practice while you sleep. Practice in my sleep. Straight out of high school.
Welcome to Memphis. Coming up from fourth and final hour, we'll talk to Eric Hasseltine, who is the Grizzlies play-by-play man on radio. And they had a nice little tribute last night at the FedEx Forum as they hosted the Suns. And, of course, Eric has been on the mic for a long time in that capacity. So he has seen the Grizzlies and Lakers do battle with Kobe Bryant on the floor. I was happy to say that I've actually seen him live in person, too, and I was happy that I did. Never got a chance to meet him, but I got a chance to see him in person. And so we'll get into all that with Hasseltine. It was weird last night with the Grammys being at the Staples Center and all this happening. That must have been a tricky dynamic to, you know, having all these people just showing up that were not going to be a part of what was going to be inside because of, you know, where it was being hosted, where it was being housed.
That was another thing. I thought Alicia Keys did a great job. I mean, thrust into that position.
Right. They probably had to do a lot of scrambling late.
Right.
Last second.
She had to collect her thoughts, and she, I thought, carried it very, very well. Did a great job, I think, with her. Because when you're the host, everybody's looking to you, right? It's one thing for a musician just to hold up a jersey and pay tribute in their own way while they're performing. But when you're the host, you really think about, what words do I choose? How do I do this right? I thought she was great.
You know, we brought up earlier, you were not here, but in the first hour, talked about, unfortunately, those deaths that we all remember where we were. And, you know, we'll always remember Steve McNair here when we got the, you know, word on July 4th. We'll always remember where we were yesterday. I was wrapping up an interview in Toronto on 590 talking about tonight's game, and my phone was buzzing like crazy. And I was a little embarrassed because I'm like, what is going on? It's 1:45 in the afternoon on Sunday. And it's also a sinking feeling of doing this long enough to know that something's up. And my initial thought was, what's happened here locally? Why is my, you know, if my phone is doing that? And so a little hesitation when I hung up that interview for check my phone, because I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to see this. But we'll always remember that. And I brought up the story when we were, we'll see if Willie remembers, when we learned that Michael Jackson had died. Yep. Where were we?
We were at Atlanta Stadium. We were watching the Braves and the Yankees.
Turner Field. Well, we were doing a show. We were out on the outfield deck. That was during the show when TMZ was putting it out there. And so we were on the air. It was not during the game. It had happened late afternoon, if you remember.
Yep. Absolutely. Braves, Yankees, and we were in the midst of the show and out in the right field stands there. I can certainly remember that.
Yep. So that'll be no different. You know, we'll always remember where we were when we learned of this horrible story. But, yeah, I thought the Grammys, I thought they did a good job because they had to.
Yeah.
You know, there was some mad scramble.
Had his jerseys illuminated and.
Yep.
Everything. So,
and Vince just texted me literally just now and said Tennessee will wear purple shoelaces tomorrow night versus Texas A&M in honor of Kobe. He said the players wanted to do it.
Yeah. Well, I think that's cool. And you have other teams that in the NBA and I'm sure around the NCAA that'll do things. You had Mark Cuban come out and say that number 24 is officially retired for the Dallas Mavericks. That was his decree, his way of doing a tribute. And, you know, I think that'll be up to the teams. I think that's a very cool gesture to do that. You had, I think it was it Miami that retired 23 for Jordan? You've had, I think, some other teams don't issue it because of that reason. But there are different tributes that you can do. And I know we will see them over the course of the next few days. And again, tomorrow, the Lakers and the Clippers, I think everybody will be tuning into that one.
We headed east to start this hour. We'll head west to start the next hour. We'll talk to Eric Castletine next on Darren, Donick, and Jace, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.